Hello, and welcome to Why Wars Happened, a weekly history podcast where we talk about what led to war in history. I'm your host, Emily Ross, and today we're going to be discussing the things that led to the American Revolution, with a focus on Virginia this season. Okay, so where we left off in the last episode was that the colony of Virginia was at peace with the natives. The colonists were now free to leave the protective walls of their towns to plant food and tobacco without the fear of attack. The colony had tried to make other things like iron and glass and other supplies that England desperately needed, but it ended in failure every time. The one thing that was able to be made was tobacco. It was growing everywhere. It became the largest source of income for the colonists and one of the largest sources of income for England. There was all sorts of drama between the king trying to limit how much tobacco the colonists could bring to England and the colonists deciding that they were going to sell their tobacco to England's rival, Holland, which the king wasn't very happy about. Meanwhile, while all of this was happening, James had canceled the Second Charter of Virginia, and in 1612 he granted a Third Charter. The Third Charter had a lot of the same things as the other charters, but this one declared even more land for the Virginia Company and allowed the company to hold a lottery to raise money in England. News of the drama and cruelty in Virginia reached the people in England, and it made the colony seem like a terrible place. It also made the Virginia Company look pretty bad. This meant that the company had a hard time getting people to give them money. They needed money to send more colonists and more supplies to Virginia. But by this time, Virginia seemed like such a bad idea that the company even had a hard time collecting money from people who already owed it to them. So a few years later, in 1619, they sent a new governor over to Virginia with instructions giving the colonists the right to create a government where they would elect representatives. The idea of establishing democracy like this in Virginia was so they could try and reverse the bad image the people in England had of them. The instructions that gave the colonists this right to elect people is sometimes called the Magna Charta, or the Great Charter. It's a joke that references the Magna Carta in England. The Magna Carta was written in the 1200s and took power from the king and kinda gave it to the people. So that's the joke. People really did see this document as a kind of 1600s Magna Carta, since it gave them rights to elect representatives. The group of people elected as representatives would be called the House. Another smaller group of people would be chosen by the king. This smaller group was called the Governor's Council, or sometimes just Council. Usually, the king was too busy to get involved with choosing this or that person, and he was a whole ocean away. So the governor was the one who often chose the members for the Governor's Council. Together, the House and the Council were called the Assembly. So part of the Assembly was elected, and part of the Assembly was chosen by the governor. The governor sat at the top. He had the power to say no to any laws the Assembly wanted to pass, just like our governors in the United States do today. This is very similar to what they had in England with England's Parliament at the time, so it wasn't that crazy. But it was super important because now the colonists could vote. They had a small say in their government. No longer would presidents of the council or cruel governors rule over them with an iron rod. They could also create laws so long as the laws they created didn't break the law in England. Remember, they were considered full-on Englishmen the same as though they were in England itself. This is important to the American Revolution because it's the basis on which the colonists said the king was depriving them of the rights that they had as Englishmen. And we'll get to that. The document allowing elections didn't come from the king. It came from the Virginia Company itself. We can imagine that with all of the problems King James was having with Parliament, he in no way wanted another Parliament in America. Remember that James had literally written the book on the power of kings. It said that the kings ruled over its people and Parliament had to bow down to him. This was such a strongly held belief that when James felt Parliament wasn't bowing down to him, he had a habit of dismissing them entirely and ruling without them. James wanted the colony to depend on him and send money to him. Now the colonists were going to have to pay salaries to the elected representatives instead of sending that money to England or to the king. But even though the Virginia Company had to answer to a powerful council in England and to the king, the company had the power to control rules, laws, and how the colony was governed, just so long as they didn't break English laws. James didn't like all of this democracy one bit, He even said that the meetings of the Virginia Company were basically schools where they taught Parliament how to commit treason. But he didn't have a choice. The charters clearly stated in black and white that the king had granted this power to the company. No take-backsies. One of the things the Third Charter also gave to the Virginia Company was the power to hold meetings 4 times a year where everything having to do with Virginia would be discussed. The leader of the Virginia Company was a man named Edwin Sands. He strongly and loudly advocated for civil rights and democracy wherever he went. This was widely known about him. James was well aware of Edwin Sands. He thought Sands was worse than the devil and called him his, quote, greatest enemy. So, back to the colony for a moment. The instructions for the new governor of Virginia contained some other things that he was supposed to do. A few weeks after the new governor's arrival in the colony, he got to work on doing all of those things. The new governor issued proclamations for everyone to see that every colonist who had been suffering under the punishments of the former cruel government was now free of that punishment. And all of the cruel laws enacted by that former governor were now canceled. Every colonist was to be governed by the laws of England, and we're basically going to hold elections and get a better society set up here. These instructions can hardly be overhyped in their importance. They were so important because it established the first form of democracy in the New World. It also created a government that would eventually be strong enough to resist the English Parliament and the English throne. The colonists weren't there yet, but it would get there. It's also important to our podcast because despite what it may sound like, this isn't a podcast about Virginia. It's about the things that led to the American Revolution, and right now we're just focusing on Virginia. So these instructions are important to the American Revolution because in just a few years after this, Virginia was pulled from the Virginia Company and the company was shut down forever. Control was given to the English government. When this happened, it became an official royal colony and not a colony owned by a company. When the colonists needed to come up with a government that would now be in place as a royal colony, the system of elected representatives was already well established and strong in Virginia. It made sense that this type of government would be the government that would continue. If those instructions hadn't told the colonists that they could elect people, and if there hadn't been any elections, it might have remained that there were no elections when Virginia changed to a royal colony. England might have just continued letting the governor and his chosen assistants rule over them. Even though the Virginia government wasn't at the point of resistance yet, they immediately got to work asserting their power. One of the ways they showed their new power was in a famous story, at least among Virginia historians. Remember that old council that was the first form of government that Virginia had? They descended into Lord of the Flies and nearly everyone starved to death because the council was so bad at managing Jamestown. Well, one of those council members was a man named John Martin. When he left the council, he was given 80,000 acres of land as a kind of thank you for your service. When he was given this land, he also got an extra special, super cool thing with it. He was granted the ability to not have any of the laws of Virginia apply to him or anyone else who lived on that 80,000 acres. Pretty cool, huh? Maybe at first, but it came back to bite him. Now, elections were being held where representatives were elected from each area of land in Virginia, just like today. So in strolls John Martin with his big piece of land and two people elected from that land. And he says, "Hello, fellow colonists. These are my representatives. Show them to their seats, please." And the assembly said, "Sure, no big deal. All you have to do is give up that little tiny thing that says you don't have to follow any of Virginia's laws. I mean, it's not really fair if you vote on laws that you don't have to follow, right? Am I right, John?" That would be ridiculous and a complete mockery of this whole thing. Well, John Martin refused to give up the right to not follow those laws. The assembly wasn't about to let this kind of thing happen, especially not while they're just getting started. So they refused to let his representatives be part of the assembly. And that's the end of the story. Not much of a dramatic piece, but it just goes to show that the assembly knew that it had power and they wanted to make sure things were done right. The elections had begun in 1619 and Virginia became a royal colony 6 years later in 1624. We'll get to how that happened in a later episode. But that's 6 years of experience that the colonists gained in how to run an elected government. The assembly passed all sorts of laws. They passed laws about how to interact with the natives, how to deal with public drunkenness, and laws stating that every family had to plant 6 mulberry trees and corn enough to feed themselves, plus an extra barrel of corn each year. One of their laws said that you couldn't be idle, meaning that you couldn't sit around not contributing anything to the colony. That may seem like it has its roots in Puritan Christianity, and maybe it does to a small degree, but we have to remember that most of the colonists making these laws had been there when the colony nearly starved to death. One of the reasons that just a few years before this, people had been literally digging their own graves and laying down in them to die and boiling shoes to eat and almost everybody starved to death was because some early colonists thought that their position in society put them above physical work like farming and hunting. They sat around and let other people work. That was just one of the reasons. We discussed some of the other reasons in earlier episodes, but that gives us an idea as to why a law saying you couldn't just sit around and not work was so important to the assembly. There's one story about this guy who was just hanging around, not working and just being idle. Big no-no. So they rounded him up and gave him to a master. This guy, servant we'll call him, tried to start a love relationship with a female servant in his master's house, and it was causing all sorts of problems for the master and his wife. Then this guy, servant, starts spreading a bunch of rumors about his master, basically trying to ruin his reputation, ruin his life, and falsely accusing him of a bunch of things. So the master goes to the assembly, and we can actually read about what happened because they wrote everything down that was decided. The assembly found that the servant was a liar, and everything the master complained about the servant doing wrong was true. As punishment, the assembly decided that the servant was to be placed in stocks and his ears nailed to a wooden board behind him for 4 days. And he was to be publicly whipped for 7 days. Pretty freaking brutal. But the assembly wasn't messing around. They were in charge, and everybody was going to know it. The only thing the assembly couldn't do was pass any laws that broke laws in England, broke the rules given to them in the charter by the king, or broke the rules of the instructions given to them by the Virginia Company. That was it. Everything else was wide open for them to control. Even though the assembly and the governor ran the colony, it was still very much owned by the Virginia Company. The Virginia Company could tell them to stop doing something, and they'd have to listen. They could also tell them to do something, and the assembly would have to do that as well. The other thing the Virginia Company could do was that it could cancel any laws the colony passed, even ones that the assembly and the governor had both approved. All of this is good and fine, but we're about to get into the most important power the assembly had. The one thing that remained at the center of the issues with Britain 157 years later. Taxes. The assembly had the power to charge taxes. The tax money would be used to pay for public things like roads, jails, and the salaries of government officials. The assembly was the only group that could tax people. Sometimes the governor tried to take this power into his own hands, but he was never successful. One way he did this was by trying to charge fees for things. He did this without the approval of the assembly, but the fees gave him such a small amount of money, and the assembly protested so strongly against this that he dropped the whole thing and stopped trying to charge fees. So right from the start, there was a push and pull for power between the assembly and the governor. However, remember that the assembly was two parts. One was the elected representatives, and the other was a group of people chosen by the governor, or sometimes by the king. That group was called the Governor's Council. The governor was usually born and raised in England. He didn't always know the complicated ways of life and how things worked in Virginia. So when a governor was appointed by the king and sent over from England, he arrived and usually relied on advice from the Governor's Council. The governor still controlled the military in the colony, and he could still cancel laws. He had complete control over which laws could pass and which laws couldn't pass, just so long as they didn't break the law in England and the Virginia Company or the king didn't tell him no. He also decided who could be the judges, the police, and council members themselves. So he may not have arrived in the colony knowing a lot about it, but he certainly had a lot of power over it. And remember that the governor was chosen by the king. So the people the governor chose to sit on the governor's council were loyal to him and intensely loyal to the king. They were members of the upper class and usually had tremendous wealth. Very different from the elected side of the assembly, who represented farmers and the lower classes. This made it really hard for the elected side of the assembly to get laws passed that might anger the king or might go against the governor. On the bright side of this, it also made it hard for the people to completely overrule the government. The colony of Virginia had already seen Lord of the Flies and what happens when people too easily can kick people out of power. It became mob rule and everything descended into death and starvation. This was a balance, a push and pull of power where the lower classes had some, and the king and governor had some. Eventually, the council would become much more powerful than the elected side. This became a more intense struggle between the people and what the people were beginning to see as a colonial government almost entirely ruled by England and the people it chose to rule them. England's rule over the colony would become even more obvious in the coming years. That's all for today. Thanks for tuning in. Join us next week when we discuss how the Virginia Company was shut down forever and Virginia became an official royal colony. Subscribe so you don't miss the next episode and comment your thoughts on this episode below. See you next time on Why Wars Happened.